Good morning, everybody. It's great to see such a full room at this morning session, so thank you all for coming. I'm Kira Crowley, and I'm from Cornell University, and today I'm going to be presenting the research that I've done with Dr. Ryan and Dr. Van Ness on cereal rye management prior to organic soybean and the effects on soil health, weed suppression, and yield. First, to give you a bit of background, currently in New York State, there are 330,000 acres of soybean production, which is about 2.5 times what it was in 2000. So it's an industry that's growing fast in New York State. In addition, as of 2014, New York ranked number 3 in the country for number of organic farms, and organic soybean production is also increasing in New York. However, there are challenges with organic production that we're all aware of. A big one is weed suppression. Another is the reliance on tillage to control those weeds, which has detrimental effects to the soil. And another is increased climate variability, which is a problem not only in organic, but in all production. And this map is to elaborate on that climate variability. This is showing the observed change in very heavy precipitation. So what we're seeing here is that from 1958 to 2012, in the Northeast region, there was a 71% increase in the amount of precipitation during very heavy rainfall events. So cover crops have been suggested and studied and implemented as a way of dealing with some of these challenges, and I'm specifically interested in how a cereal rye cover crop and management of that cereal rye cover crop can mitigate some of these challenges. So why cereal rye? Cereal rye is great because, for one, it's feasible for a late season planting. Another is that it reduces soil erosion in the winter. It produces a lot of biomass, so it's good for spring weed suppression. And it's also possible to be used as a forage crop, which there's increasing interest from farmers for. And that's an exciting possibility for increasing farm profitability. So the specific cereal rye management methods that we were interested in are these three, and these are the ones that we included in our experimental treatments compared to a no-cover treatment at the bottom there. So the first is a no-till treatment where the cereal rye was roller crimped before soybean planting. The second is a rylage treatment where the rye was harvested at boot stage and then the stubble is tilled in. And then the third is a plowdown treatment where the rye was incorporated at jointing phase. And here we're especially interested in the no-till and rylage treatments. The no-till because of its potential for increasing soil health and also reducing fuel and labor use. And the rylage, as I said, because of increasing interest from farmers in harvesting this rye as a forage. And its potential to add that forage crop for profitability, but also potentially not reducing the main crop yield. So getting into our hypotheses first, we hypothesized that cereal rye mulch will be as effective as tillage in suppressing weeds. Second, that crop yield will not differ among treatments. Third, that water infiltration will be greater in the no-till treatment. And fourth and finally, that soil health will be greater in all treatments with cover crops. So just to give you a bit of an overview of our materials and methods, our experiment took place in Aurora, New York. It was initiated in 2014 in the fall with cereal rye drilling and repeated in 2015, and it was set up as a randomized complete block design with 4 replicates. We collected the following data, including cover crop biomass, soil sampling, water infiltration, weed biomass, and grain yield. And then with those soil samples, we conducted these 4 soil health tests, which are part of the Cornell Soil Health Package, including potentially mineralizable nitrogen, respiration, wet aggregate stability, and active carbon. So I'll be presenting results on all of this data today. In case some of you have never seen a Cornell infiltrometer before, this is what it looks like. There's these little tubes at the bottom that apply a constant rainfall rate to the soil surface, which in our case included the cereal rye mulch. We included that in these measurements for the no-till treatment. And then from that, we measure the time to runoff. And the time to runoff is included in a calculation along with rainfall rate to get what's called sorptivity. And so that is the value that I'll be presenting today. Just to give you an idea about the weather in the last couple of seasons in New York, the green line here shows the normal accumulated precipitation. The blue line is in 2015, and the red line is in 2016, and we're seeing accumulated precipitation from the 1st of April through October. And as you can see, 2015 was an abnormally wet year, and 2016 was an abnormally dry year, verging on drought. And you can see here this flat line between June and July, an important time in the soybean growing season. So this did pose some challenges, especially in our no-till system that you'll see in my results. Before I present the results, I just wanted to give you an idea of how much cereal rye biomass accumulation there was. So these are, from left to right, the no-till, rylage, and plow-down treatments. And the darker bars are from 2016, and the lighter bars are 2015. There was a year effect. There was greater biomass accumulation in 2016, and this could be partially because of the earlier planting date. We got the cereal rye in the ground earlier in 2015. It could also have been due to a warmer winter. But what's more interesting to note here is the differences between treatments. So there was no year treatment interaction effect, which is why I'm not showing letters on top of each of these bars, but these letters are based on treatment comparisons with the years pooled. And you can see that the no-till has a significantly higher cereal rye biomass than the other two treatments, and this is simply because the cereal rye was in the ground for longer and growing for longer in that treatment. These are the dates that each treatment was imposed in 2015 and in 2016. So you can see from mid-May, when the rylage treatment was imposed, until early June, there were a few weeks in there, and that's how much biomass was accumulated in that time. Getting back to our hypotheses, the first one was about weed suppression, and we had expected that there would be equal weed suppression across treatments. However, this is not what we saw in the data. This is, again, a Tukey pairwise comparison of means between treatments. There was no year treatment interaction effect. And so what we're seeing is a higher weed biomass in the no-till treatment than the other treatments. This was measured in September. However, it's important to note that even in the no-till treatment, it was still only 400 kilograms per hectare of weed biomass, which is still pretty good for an organic system. I guess anything under 1,000 kilograms per hectare is considered good for an organic system, so that's important to keep in mind that there was a difference, but it still wasn't significant weed pressure. Before I present some data about yield, I wanted to show you some pictures. So this is from the time of harvest in 2015, a treatment comparison. As you can see, there are no really obvious differences between treatments here. However, in 2016, I think it's pretty obvious that the no-till treatment was yielding less here than the other treatments. And this was simply due to the drought. It really got a late start with the drought this year. And this is reflected in our data. Here we did see a significant treatment year interaction. And so the letters here are, again, a Tukey pairwise comparison of means, but within years. So we see in 2015 there were no significant differences in soybean yield between treatments, but in 2016, like you saw in those pictures, there was significantly lower yield in the no-till treatment with that drought. However, what's also really interesting to note here is the rylage treatment. And with this treatment, the farmer is getting an extra forage harvest and also still having yields that are comparable with the other, with the no-cover and the plow-down treatments. Getting into water infiltration, if you remember that sorptivity indicator I was telling you about is a time to runoff indicator. So here we're seeing a higher sorptivity or longer time to runoff in the no-till treatment compared to the no-cover treatment. And this is probably largely explained by the fact that we included that cereal rye mulch as part of the system when we were measuring runoff, so that the cereal rye mulch absorbing that water probably slowed down that runoff, but it could also be explained partially by the root biomass, because there's a lot of more root biomass in that no-till system than the other systems where the rye was tilled in earlier. Finally, getting to our hypothesis on soil health. As I mentioned, we did measure aggregate stability and active carbon, but we did not find anything significant with those results, so I won't be presenting those here today. However, with soil respiration, we did find some significance with the no-till having higher soil respiration than the no-cover. And again, this can be explained by the root biomass in the no-till. And finally, I'd like to present the potentially mineralizable nitrogen results. Here we did have a significant treatment year interaction. And just to, in case some of you aren't familiar with this test, this is measuring the amount of nitrogen that's mineralized in a 1 week incubation period. So we're measuring the ammonium at the beginning and at the end of a 1 week incubation. So here we're seeing no difference between treatments in 2015. But in 2016, we did see a higher PMN in the Plowdown treatment compared to the no-cover and Rylage treatments, which I think can probably be explained by the higher biomass that was incorporated in the Plowdown treatment. Because in the Rylage treatment, it was harvested, it was just the stubble being incorporated. In the no-till treatment, you do have that root biomass. But in the Plowdown treatment, there's all of the above-ground biomass as well that was incorporated. So in conclusion, weed biomass was greater in the no-till treatment, but still relatively low for organic production. Yield was lower in the second year of the no-till treatment. The Rylage treatment soybean yields were among the highest and also included a forage harvest. There was greater infiltration in the no-till treatment. And compared to the no-cover treatment, there was greater soil respiration in the no-till and greater PMN in the Plowdown in 2016. So overall, we are pretty happy. We're really interested in studying this Rylage system further because of the potential benefits for improving farm profitability while not hurting the yields of your main crop. And also, the no-till system did really shine in the first year of this experiment when drought wasn't an issue. So it's good to note that it didn't do well in the drought, and that's something to keep in mind for the future, but it was a very good treatment in the first year because of benefits to soil health. So that's all. With that, I'd like to thank the USDA for funding the Sustainable Cropping Systems Lab, which is Dr. Ryan's lab at Cornell University, and all of the research assistants that helped collect all this data. Thank you.
Do you have time for a question or two?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, we did plow the Rylage stubble a couple weeks before planting. Yeah. Yes?
Oh, sorry.
No, actually, we didn't have a problem with that. I think this year, probably with the drought, there wasn't a problem with that. But even last year when it was a wetter year, we didn't really have a problem with that. Maybe because there was a little bit less cereal rye biomass last year.
Did you say exactly what stage you rolled it in?
Yeah, we rolled it at, sorry, I didn't say that, at 50% anthesis. Okay. Yeah, we harvested it in mid-May, so that was at boot stage, which is supposed to be a good stage for forage quality, which is why we harvested it then. But we were able to harvest it a little bit earlier this year because of the warm winter. The cereal rye grew especially well in the spring, so we harvested it in early May this year, but last year it was mid-May.
Harvesting the rye might not reduce yield of
soybean. Yeah, well, with soybean, we're not really concerned about nitrogen limitation. But yeah, because you are harvesting it earlier as opposed to the no-till where the cereal rye is in the ground longer, there might be less moisture limitation for the soybean. Yeah. Thank you.